So, today, again, Mike's gone AWOL, and I've picked up Paulina instead. Paulina's my running mate from Canada, actually. Just trying to say g'day.
Yeah, hey guys. I'm Paulina from Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver's kind of similar to Sydney in a way, isn't it? A lot of people say that.
Yeah, it is in a way.
Like kind of on the water, pretty nice city to run around.
And then you got like trails close by as well. So it's quite similar in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people have told me I should go to Vancouver. So yeah, cool. Paulina and I go back, what, 3 years? 2.5 years, maybe?
Close to three now.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah.
So I was finishing up my studies as a physio and you were starting your studies as a physio.
Yeah, first year.
And I was like, damn. She runs.
Yeah.
And that's basically how we met.
Yeah, that is. I hope my mom's not listening.
So, okay, we're onto something here. And we hang out a couple of times, went for a few runs, and then just sort of got involved in the whole running community and went from there. Yeah. Nothing ever eventuated romantic.
Yeah, just friends. We stayed running mates. It's good.
So you're now about to finish up as a physio. So you're about to graduate from uni, right?
Yeah. So I graduate technically in September. Can start working around August.
Are you going to stay in Australia or go home?
Oh, no, I'm staying here.
Yeah? Like staying or staying for a little bit?
Oh, no, staying.
Is this home?
Yeah, sweet. Basically.
Okay.
It's home.
Cool. Big chat.
Like, the running community here is just, the reason why I'm staying.
Why did you come to Australia in the first place?
I wanted a bit of change scenery. I was still a runner back home, but, like, I was mostly running alone. I had a bike crew that I rode with, but it was, like, double my age. Mm. And so, like, I guess there's not many young people that do it. Only young people that do it are generally the ones that do it in university and do it for speed and things like that, but I just wanted to have fun in the trails, fun on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So change, mix it up, come to Sydney, and now you're staying.
Yeah. And now I'm staying. I didn't think so. Like, I came here, I was like, yeah, I'm going to come back home. Yeah, no, four months in, like, I mean, got introduced to so many run clubs around here, kind of opened up a little bit, and yeah.
Love it.
The reason I'm staying.
And now you're about to graduate, and you've potentially secured a job as a physio in Sydney as well.
Potentially.
You kind of got to stay now.
Yeah, I kind of got to stay.
So you've always been sporty, right, as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Give me your one-minute version of your child
one
growing up sporting life.
One-minute version of my childhood. Me and my brother are best mates. So basically, it was always skiing, either skiing or windsurfing or going on hikes or just literally doing everything that a girl was told, oh, no, like, you're a girl, you should be dancing, you should be, like, or you should be a model and things like that. I was just like, yeah, no, that's not me.
Yeah.
And track and field and everything. I was a high jumper and pole vaulter in high school.
Polish pole vaulter. So you're a bit Polish as well.
Yeah.
Did I say that correctly? A bit Polish.
A bit Polish. A bit Polish.
How much Polish are you?
I'd say I'm more 100% Polish and just, I mean, I grew up in Canada, but
your parents are Polish?
My parents are Polish. Right. And my first language was actually Polish.
Yeah, right.
So still speak it fluently.
Sweet. So you did a bit of like track and field and stuff into the high jump and the pole vault. How did you get into like running then? Like what we call running, distance running?
Distance running. I was told to do it back in elementary and high school. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, I didn't like to be told what to do, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, no, I want to do pole vault, I want to do high jump. Then once uni started, I couldn't keep up with being in a club and stuff like that just because time constraints. So, like, I started just as a stress relief, just going for a run, just going into the local trails.
Just jogging.
Yeah. Mm. And then...
So how old were you then?
I was probably, like, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17, cool. 18.
Yeah. And you did your first marathon at age 19. Tell me about that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was funny that.
What happened?
So my dad decided it would be fun to do just a regular 10K. So there's this Vancouver Sun Run It's kind of like City of Surf here.
Yeah.
So generally it's just like a fun 10K that you do. My dad's work was funding it, so he's like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So we did the 10K, and then he decides to sign himself up for a full marathon, just from a 10K to a full marathon. Did his knee a little bit during that race.
So you both did the 10K?
Yeah.
You and your dad? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I beat him, of course. You beat
him? And then?
And then after that, yeah, he did his knee a little bit. So he's just like, a month before the marathon, he's just like, all right, you're running it for me. And I was like, what do you mean I'm running it for you? And he's just like, no, I paid for it, so you're running it for me. Because he's like, I can't. Like, my knee's bummed. And I was like, can you at least put it under my name? He's like, no, that costs too much. I was like, okay, fine.
So what was the longest you'd ever run before?
Probably 10, maybe max 15K.
15K, and then you did a marathon.
We did one 20K run.
Oh, perfect training.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
great. Good.
One 20K run in that month leading up. I was supposed to go to a rave like a normal 19-year-old. But instead, I ended up doing this, the marathon. And all I remember was my dad was on his bike beside me. And I was just like, Dad, I'm going to kill you. I'm literally going to kill you. Oh, the whole way. And then people were giving me looks because, like, my name on it was Robert instead of Paulina.
Your name on your bib.
Yeah, so.
And you got a sub 4 hour for no training. So.
Yeah.
That's, some people might call that raw talent.
Oh, I don't know. It was kind of dead at the end. I mean, I've never seen my dad smile so big.
Yeah, when you finished.
Yeah, because I beat both of his mates who are, they do Ironman.
Yeah.
And they got both in like the 4 hour.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess like Canadian people run slower than Australian, but yeah, so I got 3 hours, 57 minutes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And so in my experience, at the end of a race, there's overwhelmingly, there's two kind of reactions. You either finish and you go, fuck that, never again, that sucked. Or you go, yeah, that was okay. Like, when's the next one? What was your reaction?
My reaction's like, Dad, I want to kill you. And then my second reaction was, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of got a bit of an, after, because I was actually wearing Nikes, these Nikes, and they were like my mom's old Nike shoes because my shoes ended up getting a hole in them before the race. So I ended up with a blister the size of a golf ball, went to work for a 12-hour shift the next day.
Ooh.
And then that got infected, so I ended up with an IV in my arm for a week.
Oh, wow.
Going into the hospital every single day.
Whoa.
To get antibiotics through an IV.
That's pretty hectic.
Yeah, so that was my marathon experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't stop me from running, though. The knee niggle did, though.
Yeah.
I had to stop for a bit, which kind of sucked. But then after a while, like, I mean, I kept going to the physio and, like, they didn't really know what was going on and stuff. Probably why I want to become a physio so I could fix myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll just do it. And then it just went away kind of on its own a little bit. I just stopped running for a bit, but I really missed it. And then my uncle got sick with Hodgkin's lymphoma, so it's cancer. And then a year later, he actually ended up committing suicide. And I used running kind of saved me in that sense, where I was just able to kind of connect to him. It was just like every time I ran, it was like he was there pushing me forward, like pushing me to go faster. And it's also when I started racing a lot more.
Yeah. So we've heard from a few people how like running can get you through tough times.
Yeah. Oh, it did. And
yeah, it seems like you already had this like underlying enjoyment, this sense of loving running. And then that happens and then running all of a sudden takes on this greater meaning for you.
Yeah.
It's incredible, and that's why you're still running today, right?
Oh, yeah.
Big part of your life.
Oh, it's huge.
So you've come to, you came to Sydney to study. You didn't really know anyone, and now you've got like 6,000 million friends.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's through running, right? So you're part of a few running groups, running cultures, yeah. I suppose. So you work at Running Science, the shoe shop.
Yes,
who,
I do.
Who got you the job there?
Well, this wonderful gentleman right in front of me.
That's right. Good. And you run with SHR, the Sydney Harbour Runners.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a pretty cool social group on a Tuesday night in the city.
Yeah, we start at Bristol Arms right in the evening around 6:15.
Start at a pub, finish at a pub.
Exactly.
Social run.
I'll let you in on a secret. We run to drink.
Run to drink. Good.
Yeah.
So you've part of, and you've recently started coaching as well, right?
Yeah, I did, actually.
And we've actually interviewed your boss before, Mel Warman from Boobs on the Run. So Mel from Boobs on the Run, we've had her on before, so you're a coach now. Well, yeah. run leader Boobs on the Run.
Yeah, for them.
So that's your finger in a few pies already.
Yeah.
In the running community, right? Anything else?
At the moment, no. But definitely, I became an official pacer for SHR. So I pace the 5-minute long group now. I don't just run with them.
Yeah.
And yeah, but the Boobs on the Run has definitely been it's been nice, like, to get people. I find that women tend to kind of like, exercise, like, it's not for me, like, I can't do this. Like, it tends to be a lot of motivation that they need.
Yeah.
I think in Boobs on the Run, it's really great.
It's a very supportive group.
Yeah, exactly.
Very much about empowering
women
to get it done.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So now yourself as a runner, and this is something that you'll be able to touch on, which Mike and myself like literally cannot touch on. Now you've had a few a couple of problems like with your running body, so something called the female triad, and as someone who is now a health professional and a female runner who's experienced it, can you tell us what the female triad is?
So basically the female triad, it's kind of three things. So it's energy deficiency, menstrual disturbances, and then bone loss / osteoporosis. So those are the three main things.
Mm-hmm.
So this was actually when I started running heaps, when my uncle passed away. I just wasn't managing sleep, wasn't managing nutrition. I was stressed out at uni. And I just had a imbalance of kind of energy consumption. So versus exercise. And what happens to females is essentially, we actually lose a lot of iron through either sweat or exercise, and just especially impact, like running, so high impact sport. And iron is kind of really important for oxygen transport, right? It transports oxygen throughout our bodies. Mm-hmm. So it's really needed.
And so if you're deficient in iron, you're essentially not getting oxygen to your tissues in your body.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Exactly. So you end up getting...
So you want iron.
Yes.
You want iron to live. You want iron to do sport, right? To exercise.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, like, when you exercise, your muscles require oxygen. And if you don't have enough iron to carry it around your body, then obviously your muscles aren't going to get the proper oxygen that they need.
Yep.
So, basically, a lot of athletic girls tend to be within a stats of 12 to 35 micrograms per liter, and that's quite low.
So what's a normal range?
Normal range is 30 to 200.
30 to 200, and a lot of female athletes are 12 to 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, so quite low iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was probably around the 9 when I was at my lowest. I didn't reach 9. I was probably closer to the 12.
Okay, so and that presents itself to you as lack of energy.
Lack of energy. You get a lot of sleepy limbs, so you just wake up as if you were sleeping on your arm.
Like a dead arm.
Kind of dead arm sensation, even though you weren't actually sleeping on your arm. You kind of get sometimes once the day passes, in the evenings, you'll get the feeling of as if you've stared into a bright light or into the sun. And then stare away from it, so that kind of shadow.
Patch on your eye.
That kind of patch, so you get that kind of feeling.
And it does, I don't know if this terminology is correct, but it kind of weakens your bones, right? So if you're a runner, say, or someone who's doing high-impact repetitive sport, you're at a massive risk of stress injuries to your bones.
Huge. Exactly.
Have you ever had a bone stress injury?
Yes, so that actually fell in the same time that I had this. So I had the energy deficiency, and then I had a bit of my doctor was worried about bone loss just because I did end up getting a It was like a hairline stress fracture of my fifth metatarsal.
Of your foot.
So my fifth, so the pinky toe.
Outside of your foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you got a stress fracture to your foot at the same time you had this low energy. So
yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty hectic. So how'd you cope with that? Like, how did you, like, mentally cope? What'd you do? Because you can't run more, right? You just said you like to run when things are tough.
Yeah.
So how'd you cope if you can't run?
I started going to the gym and just doing just normal exercises kind of there. I would still go for walks, which probably shouldn't have.
you do a bit of cycling? Like, were you still on the bike?
I did. Not as much as now. But I did do a little bit of cycling.
So you're still moving.
Still moving around, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I also, during this time, I ended up hitting the third one, which is the menstrual disturbance. So I actually lost my period for a total of 8 months.
Really? Yeah.
Straight. And that's already leading to what they called amenorrhea.
Amenorrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely...
Was that while you were injured and off-running, or was that while you were training quite hard?
That was kind of in between.
Okay, how old were you when this was happening?
Around 21, 22.
Okay, still quite young.
Yeah, which they were worried. So, if you're that young as a female, they just worry about your bone.
Yeah.
And, like, basically you're still laying down quite a bit of bone, like, generally to 24 up to 30s. So they were just worried that since all that stopped and like I was clearly in the triad, like hitting all 3 points, they were scared that like I was just at higher risk of osteoporosis.
Yeah. Have you had any follow-up bone scans? Like, do you know what your bone density is at now?
No, actually I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
Is that something you're going to do? Check if you're osteopenic or anything?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I probably should do.
Cool.
Right now, just managing my iron, I'm definitely low again.
Yeah.
Just because I've been increasing my Ks recently, but
yeah.
But you just manage that with, generally talk to your doctor about it. But I manage it with pills. There's also, you could get injections for it as well.
So I guess you can affect it with your diet as well, right? So being sensible about that. But if you need some supplementation, then
yeah. Definitely.
Sweet. Yeah. Right. Love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh,
by the way,
no worries.
Thank you. One other thing I want to ask you about, and seeing as you're Canadian, and we've had someone ask us about this before, and like, another thing I can't answer is running in the snow. Just like wear warm shit. Like, that's easy to say, but like snow, ice, like any tips, any tricks, like how do you manage it? How do you not die?
How do you not die?
How do you not fall over?
How do you not die? That's a good question.
Any tips? Have you run in the snow in Canada?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, tell us about
it. Yes, multiple times. So, essentially the first day when, like, you get the snowfall, it's nice, soft, and fluffy. You could just run straight through it. Doesn't matter.
Any shoes?
To be honest, I was just wearing my runners.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. You get a little wet, but that's literally it.
Yeah.
Generally, when it first falls, it's not as slippery, right? It's quite sticky.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice. The next day is when you get the black ice.
Yeah.
Because it freezes overnight.
Yeah.
Or during the day, it'll get a little bit warm, and then during the night, it'll freeze, and then you get black ice. So anywhere on, like, pavement, paved roads and stuff like that, it's a bit scary. So try running kind of on the grass.
Yeah.
Because then you just sink in. It's not, like, pure black ice.
So you'll get wet shoes, but you won't slip over.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I've slipped...
would you run in trail shoes? Would that make a difference? What are your thoughts on that?
I'd say on black ice, nothing will make a difference.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I've walked on black ice in ski boots and no. It's just bad. No,
just don't
stick,
do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Just stick to the grass. Yeah. Stick to the grass, stick to the dirt. Especially on snow,
Cool. Sweet. Any other pearls of wisdom on running in the cold?
Running in the cold? Keep your calves warm.
Calves? Yeah.
I like what I wear is my grandma, she like would knit these like kind of calf socks for
me. Like leg warmers from aerobics from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So I literally run in those.
Yeah.
Because like, Yeah, you don't want to put too many layers on because then you just get overheated by the end.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you're running in a jacket or a sweater, don't wear, like, a jumper that you put over your head. Wear something that's zip up so that you could open it up later
on. Can get a bit of air in there.
Yeah. Definitely.
Sweet. But, thank you.
No worries.
Now, one other thing which is, which frustrates me and is a very big issue and something that I kind of, I struggle to deal with, I suppose. I struggle to bring awareness to, is females just running out in public, right, in terms of safety.
Yeah.
It's like myself as a male, if I have a shitty day, I get home at 9:30 p.m. at night, I can just put my shoes on and go for a jog and I feel safe. And that's not an issue for me. But I know that if I was a female, or some of my very good friends actually struggle with that, that they wouldn't have the freedom to just put shoes on and just go for a run at night time. So like you even just said, so before this, Paulina and I just ran around the bay. Like we just did an 8-9K run.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I came in here to set the microphone up and you went and got your shit from across the road. And in that 5 minutes we were apart, you got honked by a drive going by.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's that kind of behavior. Frankly, it's disgusting. But what do you do in terms of, you know, keeping safe? And do you have any strategies or what, do you have any experiences you would share or?
If you're really scared, I would say either, I mean, back home, I didn't grow up in the safest neighborhood, so my mom would give me bear, like, not bear mace, but it's like wolf mace to kind of carry around. It's like kind of like pepper spray, but mace. Really? Yeah.
Wait, so, bear mace. So like the Canadian version just to scare away bears?
Yeah, so it's, wow. It's like
pepper real life, spray. Real life pepper Canadian spray. Shit.
Pepper spray for bears.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So she'd give me wolf mace because wolf mace is a little bit smaller bottle.
Yeah.
So I'd carry that. Like I'd carry that on my way to like school and things like that.
So like as a teenager.
Yeah.
You're carrying this shit as self-defense.
Yeah. Whoa. I've never had to use it. Luckily. Okay. Luckily never had to use it.
Yeah.
But like the catcalls and stuff, you just learn. If you ignore it, then you'll be fine. But if you give them attention, if you turn around and you look at them,
yeah,
that's when you gotta worry, like that eye contact. Yeah. But if you don't acknowledge it, then you'll be sweet. I mean, it's the way it is. Like you can't really avoid it. Don't wear very, like, I don't really wear really revealing things, especially when I run and things like that.
Yeah.
So cover up.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big thing, because otherwise you attract attention.
Yeah.
And you don't want to attract attention.
Yeah.
I'm usually like, this is why I always feel so, like, I'll go into the gym and I'm, like, wearing, like, this old shirt and stuff and all these girls are in, like, this tight Lululemon stuff and I'm all in this baggy stuff. No one approaches me. They're like, what's that hobo doing in the corner?
Could also be because you smell quite bad.
Oh, thanks. I think that's your feet.
I think that's, my feet do smell. I think it's like, it's a shitty reflection on like our culture and our society that we even, that this is even comes up as a discussion, the safety of you running around at night. And then the fact that you say, we'll cover up and wear ugly clothes so that you feel safe. I think that makes me feel sick to my stomach, but like, that's your strategy that's worked for you, right?
I mean, and then what you could do is if you really feel unsafe, bring a whistle, always have your phone on you.
Mm.
Like always have your phone on you if you're running at night.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel much safer here in Australia than back at home.
Yeah.
Back at home, they would engage more than over here.
Yeah. Sydney is pretty good.
Like yeah.
I think
it's really good.
The big thing, which we talked about earlier, is joining a group, right? And that's kind of like from the basis of our
that's
whole
what I was
discussion.
Leading on to. Yeah.
Yeah. So you probably don't run by yourself a whole lot. Oh, no, no, you do. You go to the oval by your house and do that kind of thing. You do your trails every now and then, but every Tuesday you have SHR. You're running with your boobs now. Like, exactly. We just went for a run then.
Yeah. You always grab a mate. And that's the thing. Once you join a running group, then within that running group, those people are still running within the week. So you could just, like, call them up and be like, hey, I'm doing this run or I'm around this area or, like, where are you? Like, people actually have just randomly, because I'm a pacer at SHR, they just randomly contacted me saying, like, hey, I was wondering if you'd like to go for a run here and there, just on Facebook, and I didn't even know them, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, just get a buddy that's like key, but you could have a lot of buddies, or you could just join a whole bunch of groups. Like, there's SHR, who runs on Tuesdays. There's Cure Billy, which runs on Mondays and Thursdays. There's iMove that run once a month, the beginning, right?
Yeah, we're going through some changes.
All right.
But I was just going through this in my head as well. So say you live central Sydney. Monday night, you have Kirribilli Runners.
Yes.
Tuesday night, you have Sydney Harbour Runners. Wednesday night, we interviewed Will from Turbo Runners the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday, Kirribilli go again.
Thursday, Kirribilli go again. It's a little bit more of a social, but they do 6K.
Friday morning, there's Running Science Run Group. Yeah. Saturday, there's Park Run. Every single Sunday, Sydney Striders do their long group run. Like, literally every day of the week, there's a group to run with.
Yeah.
If you seek it out, there's people who do it. We're pretty lucky living in Sydney that's our running situation, our running community, right? But
yeah,
there's always... And within each of those groups of people, they're all individuals who run throughout the week as well, right? Like, just tee something out with other people.
Exactly.
I love it. God, I get so excited talking about this shit.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Why would I want to leave?
Yeah. And we've got Sydney Trail crew as well, like people in Sydney who are like, hey, I want to go to Blue Mountains this week. Who's coming with me? And you'll get like 3 or 4 people come with you as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you just tee up like who's carpooling, who's going where. And yeah, I've met a lot of great people through that crew as well.
Mm. So good.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, your Tinder dates, right? Paulina just swipes right on the people who do trail running and have a car.
Do you run? Do you have a car? All right, yeah, okay, you're good.
Take me.
Take me. And then there's my mom saying like, okay, but Paulina, you got to slow down a little bit for them. I was like, no, I'm going to run fast. She's like, okay, you could go on the date. You could go on the date. I know you'll outrun the guy. It's okay. You'll be safe.
So if you say you run like 5Ks with a dude, if you're fitter than him, is that a turn on or a turn off?
That's a hard question.
Do you care?
I don't really care as much, as long as he's willing to try.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as he was willing to try. Yeah. Or if he could teach me a different sport that he does, that would be great.
Mm.
So just like get out there, yeah. I'm always willing to do different sports. I mean, just jump on the bandwagon for like other sports and just try them out. I mean, running will always be number one.
Fuck yeah. So what's plans for the rest of 2019 in running?
2019. All right. Well,
it's coming up.
Coming up. So City Surf, sub-60 this year.
Mm.
I mean, I got 60.53.
Cool. Oh, less than 1 minute off.
Last year.
So you're going to drop 1 minute? Yeah.
And I was just cruising it. Because I was coming back from a bit of like pretty bad shin splint. Probably something worse, but I just obviously ignored it like every runner does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I struggle with my own advice sometimes, so get used to that.
Yeah, and then hopefully I need to hit that sub 40 10K.
Cool.
Sub 40, I mean, I'm only like that 18 seconds off.
18 seconds. Okay, good. That's doable.
So it's doable. And then hopefully in the next 2 years, maybe half Ironman, we'll see.
Okay, back into the triathlon.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Back into the triathlons. Haven't done one since I was 24, but that was just Olympic triathlon, right?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Love it. That's cool.
The plans.
Excellent. And try and keep it up as you embark on full-time work as a physio now.
Physio, hopefully running physio.
Yeah, so but it's kind of scary, and this is almost welcome to my world, but you can't get injured as a running physio. Like, you can't. You've got to be good at that shit. No more shin splints.
You just pretend you're not injured.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sweet. I'm running all the time. And then they see you at the gym on the bike. And then you got your spin coach tells you, they're like, oh, you're here all the time. Why don't you just become a spin coach? I was like, no, but I'm a runner.
Just managing my shins.
Oh, yeah, just managing.
Sick. Well, thanks for coming on, Paulina. It's super great to, like, hear different people's journeys, right?
Yeah,
Thanks for giving us some insight into a female runner as opposed to a male runner.
Female world, yeah.
So I learnt a lot today, and I'm sure some people out there did as well. Running.paulina.physio on Instagram. What is
it? Yeah, it's plina.running.physio.
Look her up. Right, all right, thanks for that. Yeah, if anyone's coming to Sydney to surf, then, you know, you'll be there, right?
Yeah.
Are you doing the half marathon in May, the Sydney Morning Herald half marathon?
I'm actually not doing that one because it's in the middle of my prac. And
yeah.
It's a little bit...
Life's hectic.
Yeah, life's hectic.
Sick.
But, yeah, no, hope Sydney to surf, sure. Maybe the Great Nosh, we'll see.
Get into the trails.
Get into the trail.
Cool. All right, thanks for chatting to us, and we'll see you out there again another time.
Yeah, see you there. Bye. See you running.